always say it, it seems like, you know, we get here and it's time to go. It's like you've got more than you can possibly take in, and we're writing notes like crazy and, you know, taking that back home with us. But in one way, it's just like floods of things that we're learning and getting blessed and challenged and comforted and all those things together. And it's just like, wow, we just unpacked and we're back in the vans and heading home. But thank you again to all the ladies of Glory Land, How Hard, and Brother Charlie and Miss Myra, the love and the vision. And I know that when they committed years ago to do this, the devil didn't like what he knew was going to be the result of their time and effort and love and prayers. And I know that they get thought about that and they pay a price for that. And thank you from the bottom of our hearts. In heaven, we'll see you take wonderful rewards, because the Lord is not slack in his promises, and he is not going to forget what you did out of love for him. So thank you very much. Thank you for my lovely plant and all the gift cards. I can't wait to go home. I'm not going to get a thing done at the house, because I'm going to be out shopping and eating and having this wonderful time. It's going to be terrific. And then a plant on top of it. I mean, you know, how better can you get than that? So I had my hyacinth from last year, and it bloomed, and it smelled so good, and it's already, you know, bloomed, and it was so beautiful. And I thought, oh, yay. And so another plant to take home. Perfect. So I've gotten so much personally out of all the messages. I've been helped so much, and the Lord's just spoken to my heart. And every one of us came with things that we don't have time and we don't know, but every one of us came with needs and things in our hearts. And the sweetest thing about the Lord is that he knew. He knew the theme, he knew the verses, he knew the things to tell us, and he gave those as gifts to us. And I'm very grateful. I just love it. And I got to meet Mrs. Jones as a friend. I've admired her far off. When we first, see, this is not in my time. This is just girl talk. But I told Miss Jones, I admired her afar off for years and years and years. And I knew who she was, and she didn't know who I was. But I was a little 19-year-old girl being a pastor's wife. And she was this wonderful Christian lady that God put about two blocks from my house. And I watched her and I admired her. And I knew how she loved God. And that was a great encouragement to me as I was a young Christian and a young pastor's wife. So now here, way down the road, our husbands have been friends. Our husbands know each other and have interacted. But I stay home. Jim goes out on the road. I stay home. So everybody knows Brother Jim. Nobody knows, you know, Sister Sheila. But now I got to meet her, and I said, instead of just admiring her, now I have her as my friend, and I'm very thankful. I took that away from Ladies Retreat, so I'm very thankful for that. So, okay, this last time we've talked about the reason for trusting Jesus and the range for trusting Jesus, and this last time, for just a little bit, I would like to talk to you about the result of trusting Jesus, and I want to pray before we start. Father, I cannot thank you enough for all the things that you've given to all of us, Father. And just when we think that we've heard so many things about you, wonderful, and what else could we learn or know, Lord, we just keep seeing things of how wonderful you are and how precious you are and what you're able to do for us. And we appreciate so much that. Father, I thank you for the strength that you gave us, and I thank you for being with us. And Lord, I ask you to be with me now. Lord, you know I'm dependent on you again, and you've given me these things to say, but only you can put them in these ladies' hearts. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would do what I'm unable to do, but what I want to do. And so I ask that you'd empower me and you'd help me. Help me not to forget what you want me to say, to say everything that would be a good help. Thank you for loving us. And Lord, if you can come for us as soon as you can, we really would appreciate that. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You think maybe we could move him with tears? I always cry when I ask him that, because I know if I cry, I can get a lot more out of my husband. So I'm trying it on God. I really, really, really want you to come back and here's the tears. Okay. So it might work. So that, or Myra and I had plans to go over and do something in the Holy Land. We're not sure what. We're trying to trigger it if we can, if you see us on the news. So I really am trying to be dignified and a speaker, but I've never been able to find that. So, okay, here we go. I want to talk to you this last time about the result of trusting Jesus. And there are so many, again, every lesson, there's so many wonderful things that come from trusting Jesus. So, again, it's so hard to pick, but I picked three things that are results of trusting Jesus Christ. And the first thing is peace. Our theme verse, Isaiah 26:3, says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Jesus promised us that if we would trust in him, he would give us perfect peace. It is a free gift, just like salvation. It's ours for the taking if we will just trust him. And when he promised us salvation, if we would trust him with our soul, then when we trusted him with our soul, he gave us salvation. He gave it to us forever and forever. He didn't take it back away from us. And if we would trust Jesus Christ with our life, he would give us peace, and he wouldn't take it back away from us ever. We would have it forever. And we understand the concept of trusting for salvation, but I struggle with giving him my life and everything that's contained in my life and trusting him with my life. I know that that's the best thing to do, and I want to do it, and I'm always working on it, but I haven't arrived. But every year that I know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm hoping to do better and better. And every time I put something in his hands and trust him, I'm always glad I did. He always comes through. He always gives me his peace. And we don't have to bear those things alone. And we don't have to go through this life alone. But we can trust Jesus Christ with our life, and he will give us peace. And when I was thinking about this, I was like, Lord, what is it? What goes on in my life that takes my peace away? Well, the floodgates were opened. I couldn't name you for here to forever. But six things came very quickly to my mind of reasons that I didn't have the peace of God that he wanted me to have. And I think one of the first things for me is we lose our peace when we're afraid. And that is an awful feeling. I think that's one of the awfulest feelings, is to be afraid. That can paralyze you. That can overcome you. That can just leave you where you can almost hardly function from being afraid. And Jesus showed us the answer in his word. Psalm 56:3 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And Isaiah 12:2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song." When you're afraid, don't just think you have to bear that. Don't just think that you have to go through that. Don't think you have to keep that awful feeling inside of you. But remember what God's word said. He said, we can trust Jesus Christ and we don't have to be afraid. He will give us his peace in times that we're afraid. And then I think we lose our peace in not trusting Jesus. We feel helpless. And that's an awful feeling. And Jesus showed us the answer to that. 1 Chronicles 5:20 says, And they were helped, for they cried to God in the battle, and he was entreated of them because they put their trust in him. And Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices." And I think we lose our peace when we're tired and confused and burdened, which I think for most of us is pretty much every day. But with all that's going on, with all that we face, with all the
situations that can just come up and catch us off guard and that we're not prepared and we're not in a frame of mind to face or to handle. You know, it's one thing to know something is going to happen or is coming your way, and you kind of, you have, the way I do it, you know, I know it's coming, okay, then if I have that time and I can pray and I can think and I can get where I should be, I can do okay. But there are times that you don't see it coming. It blindsides you. You're caught off guard, and you aren't in the right frame of mind, and you aren't in the right place in your heart, and you haven't maybe put on that particular piece of armor. I loved what Miss Jones said, is every day she puts on all the armor, and that way she's covered, because we don't know which part that the devil's going to go after. And I think when we get tired and confused and burdened, we get worn out because the burdens keep coming. And, you know, I've said that for years when I've had a chance to talk to you ladies. It's not that we generally fail on the first test or burden or problem that hits us. Sometimes we will do okay on the first or the second or the third. But when they just keep coming in waves and there doesn't seem to be a let up and there doesn't seem a stop in place, then we get tired and we get confused. We can't figure out what's going on. And those are times that we lose our peace. But it's an awful feeling, but Jesus showed us the answer. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." We don't have to be confused, because we can trust Jesus to direct our path, and we can lean to his understanding. And Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So when we get overwhelmed and overcome and burdened and confused and don't know how to handle things and don't know how to deal with things, remember that all we have to do is not lean to our own understanding, but put our trust in Jesus Christ, and he will direct our path, and he will show us what to do, and he will show us the decisions to make. And he will carry that burden for us. He has the answer for when we feel tired and confused and burdened. And then I think we lose our peace when we feel unsafe. And that's an awful feeling. And when we're in danger and when we feel unprotected, we lose our peace. We don't like to get into a place where we think we're going to be hurt or someone we love is going to be hurt. And that can be physically, that can be mentally, that can be emotionally, that can be a whole list of different ways, spiritually. And we just want to protect, and I think that is especially true of women. We're great protectors. We always want to be the one that we'll take care of you. We'll bring you. It's just that you see mamas do that all the time. They gather the little ones around them. And it's like, but the Lord does that for us. He said, "How oft I would have gathered you under my wing, and you would not." And he's like, he's right there to gather us under. And we just want to protect. We don't want anybody to be in danger. We don't want anybody to be hurt in any way. And when their hearts are hurt, I think that's the worst thing. When we have our children, and I know I'm talking to your heart, because I've been there. We've done that. When our children's hearts hurt, that is so awful. And we can't protect them. We can't take care of them. But Jesus Christ can. And they aren't in danger when they're in his care. They're safe. We can put them there and we can know that they're safe in Jesus Christ. And we're safe there too. He has the answer for when we feel unsafe. In Proverbs 29:25 it says, "Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." And Psalm 91:1-2 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust." He's our God. We can trust him. He will be able to keep us safe. And then I think we lose our peace when our hearts are unsettled. If we could only control our hearts, but we cannot. My husband said, he said, one boy obvious way I knew I couldn't control my heart was, he said, he used to hunt. He doesn't take time to do anything anymore, but he used to hunt. And he said, Sheila, he said, I have been hunting. I have hunted and hunted. I have killed deer. You know, I should be locked into this. You know, I've got everything lined out. But he said, I'm telling you, when that buck comes walking up, and he said, my heart is going, bam, 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 bam. It's like, it's a wonder they don't hear my heart and run away, you know. But he said, if there was ever an illustration of you cannot control your heart. But it'd be so nice, you know. I know with us speakers getting up here, you know, we're like, now, Lord, calm me. And Lord, you know, let me just get up. And these are my friends. I just sat at lunch talking to them. I just, you know, we've been sleeping in the same rooms. We've been talking in the van, you know. These are just my friends. But you get up and your heart goes, you know, you can't control that. You can't control your heart. And when our hearts get unsettled, we have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can get inside there and can calm our hearts and can make it all right. That's an awful feeling when our hearts are unsettled. And, you know, so many times something will get down in our heart and we will play it over and over and over again till we stir our hearts up. And God never meant for that, but we will do it. We can't control our hearts. And they get all unsettled because we just go over and over and over till we get them all stirred up. It's an awful feeling, but the Lord showed us the answer. Psalm 112:7 says, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And Psalm 33:21 says, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. And the last thing I want to say about this point of peace and what takes away is I think we lose our peace when we're away from God. And you know, It's very easy to lose the place we should be with God. I don't think that for most of the Christians I know there's some of them that don't care and go off, but I think for most Christians, they don't intend to leave the Lord. They don't want to leave the Lord. And most of the Christians I've known through my Christian life, they meant to finish the race. They wanted to. And just the cares of the world, or I've seen some get lost because of the deceitfulness of riches. I've seen people, the Bible says, a root of bitterness spring up in you, and you're defiled, and other people are defiled. And there's just so many things that can pull at our heart and pull us away from God. There's a song that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. We have to trust the Lord with our hearts so that we won't go away from the Lord, so that we won't be away from him in any way. And what Miss Jones said, keep short accounts. Don't push something back and say, I should deal with that, but not now. Or I know you pointed that out to me, but I don't want to give that up right now. Or whenever the Lord speaks to your heart, respond to that and listen to the Lord. How silly that we would say, it's best to listen to the Lord. But it's best to listen to the Lord and stay day by day by day with him. The simple things that the preachers told us, the simple things that we were so excited about when we were new Christians, of getting to read God's word, of actually knowing we could talk to him, of being able to say a word for him or do something, make those daily practices. If we just keep those things in our heart and our life so that we don't go away from God. Being away from God is an awful feeling. It's a terrible feeling. And it takes a lot longer to get back to God than some people imagine. And to get things ironed out and to get back where you were. He'll take you back in a heartbeat. His arms are open. But a lot of times there are so many things we've dropped in the past that we have to wade through to get back where we were. So try your best to stay in with the Lord, because you don't want to lose your peace over something that we can take care of. He showed us how to take care of staying with him. But nothing's going to be right when you're away from the Lord. Your husband's not right, your kids are not right, your friends are not right, the work is not right, the food is not right. Actually, nothing is right. You can't enjoy anything when you're away from the Lord. But when you're with the Lord, just the smallest things are the sweetest blessings. So the Lord has the answer for that too. In Psalm 26:1 it says, I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not fly. Trusting Jesus is the answer to everything. Everything that would take our peace. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace. And the second thing I want to say about trusting Jesus and the result of trusting Jesus is pleasantness. Proverbs 16:20 says, whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. And Psalm 2:12 says, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And Psalm 5:11 says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. And Psalm 64:10 says, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust him. When we are happy and blessed and joyful and glad on the inside, it will show up on the outside. I mean, when everything is right inside and you have that joy and happiness and peace and you can shout for joy and rejoice, you cannot keep that inside. It's going to bubble out somewhere. And that's where the pleasantness comes. And you and I both know we have a list of people that we don't want to be around. And then we have a list of people that we just love to be around. And when you look at that list, the people you don't like to be around are... they're discouraged, they're down, everything's wrong, they're bitter, they're mean, they're complaining, they're unthankful, that's them. And you're just like, you know, you might want to be around them to help them, but you don't want to be around them for what you get into your heart. And then there's people that they smile and they laugh and they thank the Lord and they're grateful for the smallest things. They're so pleasant. They're so wonderful to be around. They don't have to be... You know, I told Miss Ellie years ago, Miss Ellie Smith, I told her years ago, she would get so nervous when she would come and Myra would want her to speak and she'd be like, who, you know, what can I do? What can I say? And I said, Miss Ellie, if you came to Ladies Retreat and you never said a word and you just let us be around you, you've done enough for us. She loves God and it comes forth on her face. And I know that I keep saying about Miss Jones, but Myra said it too, and all of us have said here and there, just to be around Miss Jones, the smile on her face, someone told me before, she said, we just smile when we're around Miss Jones. She loves the Lord, and it's inside, and it's bubbled out, and that's what we can be. We can be pleasant, and that is a result of trusting the Lord. We were talking before, and she would never take a second's credit for it. And we aren't giving her the credit for it. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. It's because what she told us, she learned to trust the Lord. And that's where the pleasantness comes. And that's what we can be. And that's what we want to be. I mean, I with all my heart, I want to be someone that is pleasant. That the Lord enjoys being around. You know, I have said that to the Lord many times. Lord, I want to be a blessing to other people, but with all my heart, I want to be a blessing to you. When my children please me or it's a joy to be around my children, it's like I understand and I want to be that for God. I can't be it without his help. I can't be it without trust in him. But I want to be that. I want to be a blessing to God. I want to be pleasant, and I want to be pleasant and a blessing to other people. And we can do that only when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be pleasant. We can have a very pleasant spirit. That's what we can have. We can be sweet Christians, trust in the Lord, and that comes from His Holy Spirit. And and having that come forth out of us. It's not of ourselves, but we can smile and be cheerful and try to brighten somebody's day. And you know, you don't know, just going through a store for people that you don't even know, and just smile and just say. And I've made it a point when I've seen people with a little child and just say, "Oh, what a beautiful child." And I'll watch their faces, and I'll watch them walk off or hug their child, or, "Oh, she said you were beautiful." And, you know, it didn't take me 2 seconds to do that, but it brought a little pleasantness along the way. And we have enough things to deal with that are not pleasant, that if we can do that and just bring a little pleasantness and have a pleasant spirit by trusting the Lord, I think it would be a great thing. And another thing about being pleasant is, in Psalm 16:6, it says, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places." And you know, when we are trusting the Lord, our countenance will change. Our countenance will change. We'll have not only a pleasant spirit, but we'll have pleasant faces. And the Lord didn't mean for us to have hard, mean, bitter faces, but faces that are kind and good. And that comes from trust in the Lord, that they're gentle and they're good and they're sweet. I remember one time my mama we were standing side by side and we were looking in a mirror. And my mama said, "Well, getting old and, you know, I know I'm not probably so beautiful." And it wasn't looking for a compliment. She was just mother to daughter, you know, it was just this little thing. And I said, "Oh, Mama, you're the most beautiful woman that I know." I said, "You are beautiful in your own right, but from what's inside of you, you have the most beautiful face and the most beautiful countenance and the most beautiful look about you." I said, "You are a beautiful woman, Mama." And of course, she hugged and kissed me, and I hugged and kissed her, but, you know. And she is. She is right now. She's with Jesus Christ, and she's beautiful. And but I always remember, I have a picture of my mom and my daddy on my computer desk, because if I'm going to be in there and work, I would like something nice to look at. And I have a picture of my mom and daddy. And, you know, I will look at Mama every so often and tell her I love her and say things to her, talk to my little picture of Mama. And I many times look and I see that precious, sweet smile that my mama had and say, "What a pleasant Christian, because she trusted Jesus Christ." And then also, when we trust Jesus Christ, not only a pleasant spirit and a pleasant face, but we can have pleasant speech. In Matthew 12:34-35, it says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things." And when there's joy inside, it will come out. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bone." And Proverbs 31:26 says, "In her tongue is the law of kindness." And that's how we can be when we trust Jesus Christ. We can have such pleasant speech. We can bring good things out of our heart. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Kindness, a law of kindness in our tongue. We don't have to prove our point and get our way and show that we know more than people. But we can be kind and good and gentle and have that kind of speech when we trust Jesus Christ. And I found a verse in here. You know, I've read so many things through the years of David and Jonathan and the lessons and this and that. But I found, always when you're looking in the devotion, the Lord will bring something to you like, you never saw that before. Like, "Oh, wow, how neat." So, but I saw about David. I knew they loved each other. I knew they were great friends. You know, I knew that Jonathan was faithful unto death to his father and to his friend. What a wonderful son. What a wonderful friend, you know. But David said, when he was talking about Jonathan in 2 Samuel 1:26, he said, "Very pleasant hast thou been unto me." And I hope the Lord can say that about us when we trust him in both accounts, for the people that he wants us to, our lives to impact, the people that he wants us to help along the way, that they can say, you are very pleasant unto me. You helped me down the road. You helped me love God. You helped me through a hard time. You helped me make it. You told me how I could have peace and joy. You passed that on to me. You're very pleasant to me. And I hope that God can say that about us when we trust him, that we're pleasant to God. And the last thing I want to say as a result of trusting Jesus is productivity. In Psalm 37:5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. God wants us to have productive lives. He wants our lives to count. And he is the only one that knows how to make our lives count to the fullest. And we've seen picture after picture of that in the Bible. The little lad with the two fishes and the five loaves of bread. He could have kept that, and that could have been all that he had. But he trusted Jesus Christ, and he gave him what he had. And the Lord multiplied it and multiplied it and multiplied it. And that little boy has been talked about for years and years and years and used to challenge and inspire and help us. He's just a little boy that didn't have a whole lot, but he trusted Jesus. And the Lord used his life. And those people that were fed that day, and we that have read the Bible, his life counted so much more because he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is the one that knows how to make our lives count to the very fullest if we'll only trust him, and he'll direct our lives. Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And when we trust Jesus and we realize it's all about him and not about us, that he's the one that has to show us what to do, and he has to give us the power to do it. In our strength, we're going to get weary, and we're not going to be able to have our lives count the way that God could make them count if we go in our own strength, if we go in our own direction. But when we trust Jesus Christ and we look to him for the decisions and for the power, then our lives can count. I think that many times I'm afraid we're like the man in 2 Kings 6 that was trying to cut the tree down and the axe head fell in the water. Thank God he had the presence of mind to go to the man of God and say, okay, the axe head is gone. Let's get this fixed. But I think with us so many times is, long ago, the axe head fell off of our axe, and we are just wailing at the tree a month later. I know I'm speaking for myself. Just wailing at the tree a month later. I can get this done. I can get this done. I can figure this out. I can work this out. I can, yeah, I know I can do this if I just try a little harder. And what we're doing is we're wearing ourselves out, and we aren't getting anything done that could get done, because we're not working with the tools that God intended us to have. God gave us everything that we need. But when we don't trust him, we were working without the tools God meant for us to have. And Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And Colossians 1:29 says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are laborers together with God. I love that verse, that God would say, you're not working for me, you're working with me. We are laborers together with God. And as we trust him and lean on him for strength and power and direction and wisdom, he can make our lives productive. I love productive days. And y'all that know me know that I am a list maker. No telling where the lists are when I get home. I have these lists, and Jim is like, why are you discouraging yourself? Because you have 20 things on your list for today, and you know good and well
you aren't going to get 20 things done. And I said, I might. And so I put them here. And now as I've gotten older and it's harder to remember, where I used to have this, I tried a day planner thing. And if y'all are, God bless you. But, you know, I lost the race on that. It was 7 to 8 and 8. I can't do that. So, but I have my list. And then even though I have 20 there, I know what the 3 really are that have to get done. And so then I make a separate list if the day's not going well. And so then I've got the, okay, here are the top 5, you know. And then it's so good. And I'll, okay, I got to get that done. And then I'm like, oh, I'm going to forget that. So I will put it, you know, like on the refrigerator, on the dining room table, you know. So, oh, don't forget this, you know. So I'm a list maker and trying to get things accomplished. And I don't know where that was going. Let me just take a look and see where that was going. Productive days. I like productive days. Okay, there I am. I'm right back on track. But, you know, we've got our little projects. And right now my big project is the yard. I'm a yard person, and God love him, Jim has probably at a minimum of 80 big black bags of oak leaves that I put out 200 last year. And he's gathering these for me, and that's my big project when I get back, is I'm going to jump into the yard and I'm going to get everything done. And you know, when I get all that done, ooh, wow, I feel so good. And spring cleaning, I love when I get spring cleaning done. I was just fussing the other day because I got some windows cleaned on the inside and the outside, cleaned them a little hard out, and stood back, and there's still stuff on the window. I'm like, oh, no. And so cleaned and cleaned again. Then I was breaking into other things, Windex and vinegar. And, you know, I was like, this is coming off. And I was like, what is wrong? And they're double paned. And somehow I'm thinking when the hurricane came through and somehow they got it. It's not on either side. So, you know, but when I figure out how to get those done, I'm going to feel a whole lot better. But when I get spring cleaning done, you know, I feel like, oh, yeah, if y'all got any idea about that afterwards, too, see me. And but when you get that done, or you've got a project done, you know, you wanted to get this built, or you want to get this cleaned out, or you want to, you know, you get that done, you feel like, wow, yay, got something to show, productive. You know, I love that. And that's how our life is. If we keep it in our own hands, if we don't trust Jesus Christ with our life, we may have all kinds of things lined out and thought we were going to do them, or we thought we were getting things done. But if we don't trust Jesus Christ, we're not going to be able to look back at the end of our life and look back over our life with the gratitude and the satisfaction we could if we would have given every day to Jesus Christ. And I learned that a long time ago, and I'm trying to do that, is I don't try to say months out or years out. What I do is I say, Lord, show me today. If I do today what I'm supposed to do today, then that's a fair trade-off. And tomorrow and the next day. And then when you look back, you've piled up all these wonderful years with things that you got to do and be a part of because you trusted Jesus Christ. And he showed you what to do, and he empowered you, and he let you. So give God your day, day by day by day. Trust Jesus, and then you can have a productive life, and you can look back, and he will direct our lives, and we will know that we accomplished day by day what God wanted us to do, and that they counted for something, and that we made a difference in somebody's life. And in Hebrews 11, there are a whole list of men and women that we call the heroes of the faith. And you know, I went back and read over that list again when I was looking at this devotion, and I thought, phenomenal things they did. Things that have been talked about for thousands of years that challenge, inspire, speak to our hearts. These are the heroes of the faith. And the Lord said, look down, and reminded me again, not what particularly they did, but it said, by faith, by faith, by faith. And that's the answer. If we want wonderful, productive lives, then it's by faith. They trusted God, and we need to trust God. We need to trust Jesus Christ, and we can have lives that would inspire and challenge, and that we can help point the way for someone else as well. Thousands of years later, they're helping us. Their stories are all by faith. And I'd like to close these lessons, and I am truly closing. I'd like to close these lessons with a personal illustration of one of the sweetest examples I've ever seen of trusting Jesus Christ. And I'm going to talk to you about my mama. I wished I had time to tell you all the stories of what God let me see in the time that my mama was getting ready to go be with Jesus. She is the best, one of the best Christians that I could ever tell you about. My mama trusted Jesus Christ. She didn't get saved until she was 38 years old. And she came from a sad little background. But when she trusted Jesus Christ, and when someone finally cared enough about my mama to tell her, and I'm always reminded, speak up. And you know, I use my mama when I witness many times. I say I was loved and cared for by the best two parents in the world. But my daddy got saved when he was 38, and my mama got saved when she was 38, because nobody told them. When they understood, they got saved. And when my mama got saved, she served God with her whole heart for the rest of her days. People tried their best to get on my mama's prayer list. And my mama, as sick as she was in those last days, was still asking me about people and praying for people that were still on her list to the very, very end. My mama is an incredible Christian because she trusted in Jesus Christ. And when she went into the hospital and the doctors, she just thought she was tired. But we had buried my sister-in-law. My sister-in-law fought for her life for 4 months. And in March the 23rd of last year, she went to be with Jesus. And my mama was tired and wasn't eating very well. And she said, and mama never complained. And mama was a phenomenal housekeeper, y'all know. And she said, I'm just so tired, honey. And I said, well, mama, it's been very sad. And you've been through so much. And we've been to the funeral home and the funeral. And we've been with Susie in the hospital and all those things. And you'll get feeling better. It'll just take you a little while. And she said, yeah, I'm sure that's right. So she didn't. And we took her for tests. And Jim and I went with her and Daddy for a CAT scan. And the lady was so sweet and let me come and hold Mama's hand right till they put her into the machine and I had to step out. And so we finished and I thought, okay, she'll go home and she'll be fine. And they'll say, oh, nothing showed up and she's just tired. And because she'd gone to the doctor and the doctor thought she felt something. And so when the test came back, we were barely home an hour, and my sister's a nurse, and she called and she said, get Mama to the hospital right away. And we said, okay. So we drove up, and we got Mama, and threw some things in the suitcase and went to the hospital. And there are just too many stories of trusting Jesus, but I just so wish I could tell you all of them. But I remember one of the first ones was we went into the hospital, and they came in, and they said Mama's stomach was 5 times as large as someone's stomach. It was way down to here, and they were afraid that it was going to rupture, and they had to get it drained immediately. And so they were going to have to put that tube in. If you've ever known anything about putting a tube, that's so awful to get a tube down someone. And they have to keep swallowing, and you want to gag and not get it down. And so the lady was starting, and she was just about to put the tube in. My mom had sent my dad and my husband out, and I said, Mama, I want to stay with you. That's okay. And she said, I want you to stay. And I said, okay. And I was sitting there by her bed, and the lady had the tubing and everything ready to go. And then just for a minute, she said, just a minute, I need to step out just for a minute and get something else. And when she stepped out, Mama and I have this verse that we always shared. It's my life verse. And I said, Mama, why don't we say our verse? And I said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And I just finished saying that, and the nurse walked back in.
And the Lord let us just have that without interrupting what they needed to do. And I was holding Mama's hand, and she knew who was holding her hand. She knew I had my hand there. She knew who was holding her hand. And Mama got through that and up to the biopsy. And the day they were going to do surgery on Mama, I had prayed, and I knew she wouldn't be, but I had prayed and said, Lord, of all the things I could ask, just don't let Mama be afraid in the middle of all these people moving around her and doing all these things. Just don't let Mama be afraid. And so we were standing around her bed holding hands, and Jim was at the foot of the bed. And if you knew my Mama and my husband, she loves him better than she ever loved me. He is her pride and joy. And so he was standing at the foot of the bed, and we were all holding hands, getting ready to pray. And she said, Jim? And he said, yes, Mom. She said, before you pray, I just want you to know I'm not afraid. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I was trusting you for that, and I knew Mama was trusting you for that. And she said, I'm not afraid. And so they operated on Mama, and then the doctors came out with that serious face. And they said, we're very sorry. We couldn't get it off. And your Mama probably doesn't have very long. And I said, I know you can't tell us the time, but do you have an idea? And he said, 2 months. And I said, okay. And so they went in, and the doctor told my Mama, we're so sorry. We did our best. We just couldn't get it in time. And, you know, things are not going to go so well. We're very sorry. We did our best. And Mama smiled. Mama didn't cry. Mama didn't fall apart. Not to blame if someone does. I don't want to say that's wrong. I'm telling you what happened to my Mama. My Mama didn't cry. She didn't say, oh, I wished you could. She smiled and looked at the doctor, and she said, that's okay, doctor. I'm in God's hands. You know, I've often thought what those doctors go home with, the witness that God gives them, the chances that God gives them. She said, it's okay, God, I'm in God's hands. And so she stayed in the hospital for 3.5 weeks, and then she went the last week and a half of her life to my sister's house. My sister's a nurse. She lives 10 minutes from the hospital. And they said, you don't have to go to a facility, but you can go to your daughter's home. And we were very grateful for that. And so she had fresh flowers, and she had vegetables out of Daddy's garden, and she couldn't eat very much, but the little bit of stuff God let her enjoy. And so the last couple weeks before she passed away, she and Daddy were sitting there. They were married almost 66 years. And the last couple weeks, they were sitting there, and I will always treasure the gifts that God gave me, because I watched my faith in action. I knew it would work when the time came to leave this world and to say goodbye to those that we love. I knew His grace would be there. I knew His help would be there. And God just let me sit there and witness that. And it was so precious, and it was such a gift. And Daddy and her held hands and looked in each other's eyes like little high school sweethearts. And the love and the, you just don't know. And Daddy said, Louie, I don't understand. I don't know why He's taking you and leaving me. But he said, I know, and the determination of my Daddy's voice, I know God never makes a mistake. And my Mama smiled, the sweetest smile. She said, thank you for picking me. And I know God never makes a mistake. And the joy and the sweetness on that precious face, because she trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were there as a family the night that she went to be with Jesus. And we read the Bible, and we quoted verses, and we sang songs. And then, that I will always treasure, my Bible was right there. And the Lord nudged me and said, she has staked her soul and her life, and she belongs to me, and she has loved me and lived for me. Go put my book under her hand.
And I got my Bible, and I sat on this side, and I slid my Bible, and I picked up, because Mama couldn't lift her hand anymore, and I picked up Mama's hand, and I put it on God's book. And I knew that's how my Mama would want to go meet her Savior. She'd based everything in her life on Jesus Christ, and she went as peacefully as a little baby going to sleep. And she opened her eyes in the presence of the One that she trusted forever and ever. And I can tell you, He's so sweet to trust in Jesus.